You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard the Great. We've got the most quiet trade deadline so far, ever. We'll probably discuss Tyreke Evans a little bit, Lou Williams's extension a little bit. There's just not much else going on from a Celtics perspective. Not much going on from a league-wide perspective. I can't remember as little buzz as there has been so far this trade deadline. After that, we're going to, because it's so quiet, we had to take a call for mailbag questions. We're going to answer some of those. And then our new and glorious segment, we're going to read some Giannis tweets. And react.
The people wanted it. The people needed it.
The people wanted it. The people needed it. So we're gonna ask about Giannis, our boy Giannis. We're gonna discuss some of his latest tweets.
Sometimes you're not live there to catch him live, and so you just need to check in with Giannis because he's got wisdom that you guys all need.
Giannis is a very wise man. That's facts. That's all I gotta say about that. I don't really have much else to say other than Giannis is just a wise, electric man. And let's get started. Before we do that, we are the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever created. If you don't subscribe to us, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you listen to your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere else. We will never disappoint. Except occasionally. And when we do, we'll redeem ourselves later.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll try to. We'll give our best effort.
We will potentially redeem ourselves later. let's start with some trade deadline talk. I am kind of not stunned by how little chatter there is, because I think it was clear the landscape that there weren't a lot of stars to be moved, but the lack of discussion is just weird. Like,
is it the Warriors? Have they ruined basketball? So everyone's just like, we're not going to do it.
No,
or
I don't.
Is it like the buyout market, or the fact that no one has cap space, or what? Or is there, or is it a perfect storm? All of those things.
I don't think it's the Warriors, because when you think about it, like the Rockets went out and got Chris Paul. And the Celtics went out and got Gordon Hayward. And the Thunder went out and got Paul George. So there are a lot of teams that have made big additions and big trades even since the Warriors got Kevin Durant. But for whatever reason, this trade deadline has just been an absolute dud so far. Obviously, there was a Blake Griffin trade that happened well before the deadline. But when the headline is the bad Hernan Gomez brother getting dealt, it's like something's wrong. Adrian Wojnarowski, I don't even know when the last time he tweeted was. Like, he's the king of trade deadline buzz. And
that's why there was like 17 tweets about Lou Williams' extension, just because they needed something. They needed to churn out some content. I got like 18 notifications on my phone just about, like, here's an updated story. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, so we've got not a lot going on. So the Celtics could be in the market for perimeter scoring. Obviously, that has been an issue for them. Obviously, Tyreek Evans is out there. That's potentially a possibility. I don't know what else to say about Tyreek Evans. We've talked about him enough. He can score the basketball. I don't know, honestly, how he fits into a good team. Like, is Tyreek Evans going to be a piece that can help the number one defense? Is he going to be someone that's a liability? Is he going to be someone that moves the ball enough to fit into a team that has Kyrie Irving and Al Horford and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and a lot of good players? He's always been on bad teams. Tyreek Evans has literally, I don't think he's ever been on a good team. I think he's played 4 playoff games and he's been garbage in all of them.
Can he guard multiple positions?
I mean, he's long and he's athletic, so theoretically.
I know, but Tyreek the Freak is known for his, like, scoring. That's all you know about Tyreek, is that he can, like, drop 20 points in a game. But I've never heard, like, oh, yeah, he's really good switching onto point guards, or he can really guard up a position.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anything about Tyreek Evans' defense.
I don't think that's really Tyreek's thing. Tyreek's more,
that's not his game.
More of a put the ball in the basket type of guy. Tyreek, I think he would be a good piece for the Celtics to have. I don't know how much he moves the needle for them. I know they're 20th in offense. I know they need to have another player who can get buckets. And outside of Kyrie Irving and occasionally Jason Tatum, they don't really have a perimeter player who can just go and get his. And so it'd be nice to have another guy like that. But, like, they have all good players in the rotation. We've talked about this a lot. To upgrade the rotation, which right now the bench includes Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Daniel Tice, Marcus Morris. Like, you need Shemi Ojeleye. You need a good player to crack that rotation. And, like, Evans is a good player. I just don't know how much he actually moves the needle. So if I were the Celtics, I wouldn't want to sacrifice a lot to get him. If you can go out and get him on the cheap, cool. If you can't, like, cool, and you're still really good. You still have the best odds. I think what the Celtics will be most cognizant of, Brad Stevens used the word cognizant the other day, so now I'm cognizant of using the word cognizant.
Ooh, double cognizance.
A lot of cognizance. I think they'll be cognizant of, one, not disrupting what they already have, which is what Brad said he wanted. And two, the fact that Gordon Hayward is coming back. And whether it's this year or next year, this team's best days are ahead of it. And I don't think the Celtics look at themselves as real title challengers this year. I think they do believe that the Eastern Conference is open, or is potentially open for the first time in years. I don't think at all that they look at the Cleveland Cavaliers as invincible, like maybe they have in past years. Even last year, I think there was a belief that Cleveland was going to turn it on and Cleveland was going to win the Eastern Conference. Even when the Celtics got the number one seed and all that, I think the front office was well aware that Cleveland had another level to reach that Boston couldn't. I think this year's Boston team is better. I think the Cavaliers aren't nearly as good. I think there is a chance that Boston or Toronto sneaks in and wins the East this year. But the Warriors are still out there. So the Celtics should be aware that they don't want to spend too much in the short term when their best years are going to be when Gordon Hayward comes back and when Jason Tatum progresses and when the Lakers pick becomes, or the Kings pick becomes something, and Jaylen Brown gets better, and all of those things happen. I think they're aware of all that stuff. They're normally a pretty realistic front office. So I'm expecting a relatively quiet deadline from a Celtics perspective. I think Marcus Smart is the one guy to watch, and maybe they'll do something with him. I still don't think they're going to do anything with him, but we'll see, man. Do you think they move?
It doesn't make any sense to trade Marcus Smart right now to me. Like you said, they have a pretty set rotation, and I don't know what, like, basically you'd be trading Marcus Smart for Tyreek Evans. I don't really see a reason to disrupt the, like, number one defense in the league. I think you're right that they are, like, have a sight for the future, and there's never been, like, a team that makes rentals, but I also think they have the best defense in the league. and there's no real reason to disrupt that. It's might as well just try and maintain being the best defense in the league and improve your offense. You're adding Greg Monroe, who should be some sort of a game changer just in terms of his rebounding and his low post scoring, which is just something the Celtics don't have right now. I just don't see the reason. It's like making a move feels like it would just be doing it for the sake of making a move. At this point, I expect them to stand pat just because they've made this one addition to their team already and they haven't even seen what his impact is. And plus there's, everyone's talking about the buyout market. Everyone loves the buyout market. So apparently the buyout.
But who's going to get bought out? Like, I think the one you look at is Joe Johnson, right?
Ooh, I'm a big fan of ISO Joe.
Joe Johnson.
I picked up with him in Las Vegas, and he was a cool dude.
I suspect he got a lot of buckets on top of your dome piece if you played pickup.
Nah, he was on my team. I got him mad assists.
Yeah, a.k.a. you pass him the ball and just clear it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Fill the lane. But I think he's the one that I look at that makes a lot of sense. ISO Joe, I think he could be like 55 and still getting buckets in the league. Like, he just woke up, immediately stepped on a basketball court and was getting buckets. Like 1 month.
He can play small ball four too. He's perfect. He's just like the good Wiley vet. That's the type of guy you want to add to a championship team, is a guy, an old guy, a PJ Brown style guy just chasing a ring. He's got some wisdom.
Well, I think Joe Johnson would be like the perfect addition. And the Utah Jazz might screw that up. They might screw that up by winning too many games. I think they had a 5-game winning streak entering tonight. They might screw that up by chasing a playoff spot. And if you're chasing a playoff spot, do you keep Joe Johnson on your team? I don't know. So we'll see what happens with Joe Johnson. That, to me, looks like the perfect fit on the buyout market. Obviously, the Celtics have used their DPE. They won't have that extra money to spend on the buyout market, but a guy like Joe Johnson has made a ton of money. That man doesn't need much money. What he needs...
He needs a ring.
He needs two things. Buckets and a ring.
And Brad Stevens. He can rejuvenate anyone.
I don't even think Joe Johnson needs to be rejuvenated. Joe Johnson could be 90 goddamn five, like... Wrinkles all over his face, like saggy body, saggy everything, saggy balls, like old
professional
balls.
Scorer though,
old balls as they call scorer. It in Big Daddy, and yeah, he could just get buckets. So he's the one I look at, and he would make a lot of sense to me. Do you think he makes more sense than Tyreek, or is that? Not real.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I just don't know.
Tyreek's obviously been better this year, but I don't know.
I feel like you need someone on the wing. I feel like you need someone a little bit bigger. I know Tyreek can play the three, but that's not where Tyreek is best. I think he's really more of a guard. But you need someone to take the minutes that Nader is getting and Shemmy is basically getting if you're really going to want to upgrade the position. I think your guard is... Your three guards, primarily of Kyrie, Tito, and Smart, are going to get a lot of minutes. Plus, you got Sugar Shane Larkin off the bench with energy. I just don't think you need more guard play. I think the help would be in kind of that wing. So if Joe Johnson makes way more sense to me than Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, then you can play Joe Johnson in the Semi Ojeleye minutes. And instead of having like a total zero offensively, you have Mr. Buckets, ISO Joe. How many times has he been an all-star? He's been an all-star... So many times. Like, he's just been the 11th or 12th All-Star, like, seven times, I think.
Can him and ISO Mook coexist on the same court?
Wouldn't it be amazing? I think Joe Johnson is a better passer and more willing teammate than people probably give him credit for, mostly because his name is ISO Joe. His nickname, rather, is ISO Joe. Mook Morris. And Mook Morris, he's been passing more since he started looking healthy. I'll give him that. And he's been getting to the hoop a little more since he's been getting healthy. Marcus Morris has changed a little bit since he started looking healthy. So I'm ready to give Marcus Morris the benefit of the doubt right now.
Hey, that's all you can ask for. I think he's been better too. He's been really important. Anytime he scores more than like 20 points, normally that means the Celtics are going to win the basketball game.
Also, low-key, Joe Johnson has more combat muscles. He's more of like, I guess it's not combat muscles, But he's one of the strongest dudes in the league. Like, he gets on the block and he just moves fools. He's got to be like 255, 260 pounds. When he gets down there, guys just have no chance of holding up in the post. He is just an ox down there. So,
yo, I didn't know you were like this big a Joe Johnson fan. You could go on for hours right now about how great Joe Johnson is.
Yeah, let me be. It's only
I didn't know. I'm thrilled to hear it.
It's only because you gave me the ISO Joe socks.
Oh, I forgot about those ISO Joe in the Nets uniform.
Yeah, so Packard, what was that, for Christmas?
Yeah, I saw him in Newbury Comics, and I thought, shoot or shoot, Jay King would need these socks. Cost me $2.50. Best gift I ever purchased.
So now I have ISO Joe socks. And when you have ISO Joe socks.
Have you worn those in men's league yet?
I have not worn them in men's league yet, but I think now that we mention it, I'll bring them out next game. This seems like a good place to move on to the mailbag. And we got a bunch of questions tonight. Bunch of good questions, hopefully. Some silly ones. We've got that. Sam, you wanna start us off with one of the questions?
Sure. This is from @EHDecker. Is there something in Brad Stevens' lineup schemes, game planning that explains the constant need for comebacks and lack of blowouts? # Rating Jays, # Kaizen.
In their game plan, I don't think so. I mean,
I think it's that their offense is not great, so they don't consistently score.
Yeah,
and so it's hard to blow people out. And it's like if other teams are scoring, you're gonna fall behind big. Like their offense is just really just that bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's 20th. It is in the bottom third of NBA offenses. It's just weak. It's suspect, and it goes. They go through long droughts, and they don't always look crisp at that end. So yeah, I think you're right. I think when you don't have that balance, and you have so much stress on your defense to be that great, and when your offense goes through so many droughts, there are going to be times when you just fall behind. And it's a credit to their coaching staff. It's a credit to their players. It's a credit to their belief in the system that they have come back so many times and gotten so many wins. But they probably should try not to get down 18 points every single game.
And that involves scoring more. Hopefully they do that.
Yeah, I would recommend scoring more baskets.
Maybe Greg Monroe can do that, and that's our next question. Ooh. Is from @TylerYeats9. What lineup do you think Monroe would fit best in? How are the Celtics going to use Monroe?
I think the Celtics are going to use Monroe like they should. I think he's just another toy for Brett. I think he's just another toy.
They should just do it how they should do it.
I think he's just another toy for Brad Stevens. Like this group, especially this year's team, he has so much flexibility. When he needs a quicker big man, he can go to Daniel Tice. When he needs a small lineup, he can throw Marcus Morris at the 4 and Al Horford at the 5. When he needs to change the pace, he can throw out Shane Larkin. When he needs, like, there are so many different ways he can use this roster. Semi Ojeleye gets in there and guards, like, sometimes a LeBron James or another great player. And sometimes sometimes the only minutes he plays are when he plays against great, great players and he's defending them. So I think Greg Monroe is similar in that he's kind of a situational player. He's someone who has enough limitations that he can be exposed in certain situations. Like, he's not the quickest guy. If you can stretch Monroe out and you can take advantage of his lateral quickness, and he's not a three-point shooter, so he's not ever going to space the floor. But the man, if he has the right matchup, he can kill you in the low post. The Celtics have seen it for years. He always murdered the Celtics until they got Aaron Baines. He was just too big, too skilled. I also think his passing is something that Brad Stevens will be excited about. The amount of offense they run through their bigs at the elbow with dribble handoffs and backdoor cuts and all of that. And then another thing, like dump it into him in the post if he draws a double, cutters on the weak side, all of that is enticing. I'm excited. I'm interested to see whether they use him a lot with Al Horford, whether they use him mostly with smaller lineups. Obviously, he's a guy who can control the rebounding. He's a huge, huge, strong dude. So Greg Monroe, he's just another toy. Like he just gives Brad Stevens a dimension that the Celtics never had before.
Here's my biggest question, though, is what does Aaron Baines do better than Greg Monroe? Like, what is he just going to take Aaron Baines' minutes? Like, because Baines doesn't stretch the, like.
Defense.
Is Greg.
Defense.
Is this going to go offense, defense with Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe?
No, I think, like, if you have.
I mean, not every possession, clearly, but.
I think, like, if the Celtics play a low post threat or a big guy like Andre Drummond, I think you want Aaron Baines out there, right? Like to guard him, to keep him off the glass, to be a physical force. I think Monroe might be better against like smaller bigs to just pulverize him down low. Like, all right, Greg, like here you go. Just kill like the Tyler Zellers of the world or like the
skinnier. That's like Monroe dude. That's what I was saying last night is I think he should play in like the second unit and just abuse backup big men.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect role for him to come in and get buckets.
Agreed. And I think the passing is a big deal for the Celtics because even as good as Monroe is in the post, you look at his efficiency, he's scoring like 0.8 something points per possession, which is weak. It's not good. But then you draw double teams and you get passing and all of a sudden you use that as an avenue to other people's offense and those post-ups become more efficient. So the passing is a big deal, I think, for Greg Monroe. He's a really good passer. Dwayne Casey was talking about that in Toronto. Yeah, shout out to Dwayne Casey.
He came up through the Georgetown Princeton system, ran that Princeton offense, all those backdoor cuts. Someone tweeted at me the other day. I was like, yeah. I immediately was like, this guy is savvy. He ran the Princeton offense. I was immediately impressed.
When you're talking about the Princeton offense, you must be a savvy dude.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, I think his name was, or Pete Carrill. Backdoor yep. Cuts galore.
This is hilarious. When I was like 6 or 7 years old, I thought I saw him at the airport, and really it was just like some old dude with gray hair who looked just like him. But I went up to him and I was like, are you the coach of Princeton basketball? Like, I was so excited. He should have just pretended he was. He would have made
my day.
Yeah,
you would have told the difference.
He would have made my day. I would have had no clue. Yeah.
Huh. All right, moving on. This is from Fabricio at YTMoney1. What can I do during an NBA game to sharpen my basketball knowledge? Should I take eyes off the ball or even more away from on-ball matchups? Is it possible to enjoy a game in a more critical manner? Thank you. How do you watch basketball, Jay King, if you're a student of the game?
I try to watch all 10 guys at once and see the
action. Yeah, just watch all of them.
The actions that are going on instead of ball watching. But sometimes you get stuck watching the ball, and it's just fun to watch the ball. But
it's the exciting part.
I think it's more beneficial from a not necessarily a learning perspective, but from a learning perspective to understand what's going on. I think you're better off trying to watch everything that's going on, so you can see the help defense, and you can see the weak side action, and you can see all of that and not necessarily focus on the ball, but then you miss stuff and it's tough. Actually, this is a good segue to one thing that one of the guys in the Celtics organization told me about Brad Stevens. And this was before the Celtics started winning a ton of games. It was, I forget exactly when it was, but it wasn't during one of their conference finals years, or at least they hadn't broken out yet and become the number one seed and whatever. And the guy told me, he said, the most impressive thing about Brad Stevens is that he can watch a basketball court and he understands immediately everything that's going on with every player. Like, he watches it and he just like takes a snapshot of it in his brain. And where other people sometimes need to go back and watch tape, I always need to go back and watch tape of games to fully understand what's going on, to get a good grasp of it. This guy said that Brad can watch a game in real time and understand every moving piece that's going on. And he said that that's part of what makes Brad Stevens different. So that was.
Hey, man, you're preaching to the choir.
Kaizen.
Cult of Brad Kaizen. Stevens agrees. Kaizen. How do you think he got that way? Through continual progress to his goal of just understanding basketball more. You too can believe if you join the Church of Brad Stevens.
Yep.
I think that's a pretty good transition into Raining Junk. This is from Jack Michael 17, one of the best meme guys out there for Weird Celtics Twitter. Better comeback, Cavs from being down 3-1, or Tito's return to this beautiful website.
Tito's just a wild card, man. Tito is a wild card. I'm gonna have to go right now. I still got the Cavs. I think coming back against the 73-win Warriors, That's a higher degree of difficulty than retweeting Zendaya or Zendaya or whatever and telling shut up to like little girls.
His best tweet is toot it and boot it.
Yeah, toot it and boot it. Was that like a line from a song or something? Or just,
it's a YG song. I'd never heard of it before. I just listened to it. It's amazing. Of course it is. Toot it and boot it. It's also like, for some reason, after Al Horford hit the game winner, it was like the first thing I thought to tweet. So it's apparently just connected with happiness. So Tuta and Buddha is a new slogan of mine as well. I also listen to the song every day since that Al Horford make it. It's a great song. I highly recommend it. I would say sex. It's very sex positive is the way I'll frame it.
That sounds like a good way to be, man.
Other Raining Junk. Hi, Sam and Matthew. So guards, huh? Oh, sorry. This is from
DB. Pulling out my government name.
Yeah, they want government name. Hi, Sam and Matthew. So guards, huh? Kyrie, Terry, Jalen, Smart, soon too. Semi is a person also. What you make of that?
This has me flummoxed. I'm flummoxed on the podcast. I know my man DB. My man DB is... very sharp basketball mind. So I think he just wanted to flummox us. And I'm flummoxed.
Yeah, no. He appropriately did it because I have no answer, but that was a good question.
Great. Top-notch question.
Here it is. From Kendall JW. So when are you guys going to add in a segment every day analyzing one of Yano's tweets? They're so inspirational and full of Kaizen.
Now.
Right now, my man. Right now.
Now. We are Yanos.
Yanos is us.
We Yanos. Can we name it We Yanos, this segment?
Yes, We Yanos. It's so ever named. Well, we should ask Yanos to name it. That's fair.
Do you have any top-notch Yanos tweets to read?
No, that's your job. The people want to hear you read Yanos, not me. I would just butcher it.
Okay, here's my favorite Yanos tweet of the last couple of days. Hi, Raptors, is Yanos. I am learned you are hang division banner all year before you fall apart in playoff. At least you are hang something. Maybe we are make you banner tonight. Say, we are loose, big NBA Celtics. Then you hang that. Is Yanos.
Nailed it.
Yeah. the follow-up to that tweet. Hi, at Al Horford. If you are see banner at Raptor Arena today, is not title banner. These guys are not win title. They are excite fan Januarys, then big embarrass in playoff all year.
The guy is wise.
I mean, Yanos just knows what he's talking about. I'm a Here's
another game day tweet. I like it when he tweets at the opposing team, because then he really shows it's just like him flexing his muscles. Hi, Trailblazers, is Giannis. You are live far away from NBA, Celtics, so maybe you not know all our guy is injured, but we keep crush on team with rookie. Today you are fly home in plane filled with tears from cryhard. Make you our just stay in locker and hide, is Giannis.
Giannis is just electric, man. I think there should just be like an app that just reads Giannis tweets all day. Like you can throw on the
until
app.
Until that app is invented, you're going to have to come to the Rain and Jays to listen to We Giannis, because we're the only people delivering you the audio version of some great work, some great online stuff.
Another Raptor banner joke from Giannis. I am make fresh soup for game. Maybe I hang banner for soup too. when you successfully make soup, you got to hang that banner into the rafters.
Giannis loves soup, man, and as he should. It's delicious.
Oh, LeBron! LeBron just hit the Christian Leitner while we were recording this podcast. LeBron had 1 second left in overtime. He just hit the Christian Leitner fadeaway jumper. And this is real live reaction from the kid. Cavaliers are a mess, though. They're a mess.
Are they now? I'm seeing a bunch of Cavs are back tweet.
The Cavs are back. Cavs gave up 138.
Well, no, LeBron made the Christian Leitner. You were pretty excited. I think they're back.
He did make the Christian Leitner. That was a pretty sick shot. That was awesome. I kind of got the feeling the Christian Leitner was going to come while I was sitting here watching. That's what Giannis does. Giannis just makes magic happen. Once you read Giannis tweets, like all of a sudden people just start doing spectacular things.
All hail Giannis.
All hail Giannis. And all hail
the first disciple in the Church of Brad Stevens.
And all hail the Locked On Celtics podcast. You ruined that a little bit. I had the perfect.
I really just interrupted that so hard. You're going to go for it.
I had the perfect segue, and you came in and kind of ruined it.
Flying.
All hail the Locked On Celtics podcast. Again, we are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever created. We are here. We'll have another episode after the trade deadline tomorrow. I guess you'll probably be listening to this on a Thursday. So Thursday, 3 p.m. trade deadline. We will have a trade deadline special afterwards, whether the Celtics make a deal or not. Monday through Friday, boys and girls and women and men and children of all ages. Just subscribe to us. Search for Locked On Celtics. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you go. And that's it. Shout out to Giannis. Shout out to all the reporters fighting for crumbs in this boring-ass trade deadline week. shout out. But again, double shout out to Giannis because he deserves it. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.